This is Christopher O'Reilly, and welcome to this week's podcast of From the Top. Enjoy.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. So you're the preeminent flutist of your time, the most famous flute soloist in the world, and an internationally known entertainer who charms and excites new listeners. Now what do? Today, Sir James Galway joins us to lead an ensemble of young wind players and to tell us why he's devoting so much of his time to teaching the next several generations of flutists. Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome. We are here at Kodak Hall at the famous Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. Special thanks to radio station WXXI and the Eastman School for bringing us here. The Eastman School of Music at the University of Rochester is one of the best places in the world to study music. It's noted for great teaching in all disciplines, but particularly for its voice and wind programs. And we're going to pay homage to both. Later on, we're going to hear a soprano who's a second-year student here at Eastman. Emily Hellenbrook was one of the best teenage singers we'd ever encountered when she was on this show 2 years ago. And to pay homage to the winds, well, you're in for that amazing treat Joanne mentioned. Our good friend Sir James Galway is going to join us to lead an ensemble of young players in two movements of Gounod's Petite Symphonie. But we're going to start with a local cellist, 16-year-old Annie Jacobs Perkins from just down the road in Pittsford. Please welcome her. Annie, tell our audience what you and I are going to play together.
We're going to be playing Carl Davidoff's At the Fountain.
When you're all set, we'll take it from the top. Thank you.
Annie Jacobs Perkins, age 16, a cellist from nearby Pittsburgh, New York, performing At the Fountain by Carl Davidoff. Annie, what a wonderfully effervescent way of opening our program with At the Fountain. And, you know, gosh, they really love... I'm going to say I'm from Pittsburgh, New York, you know, next time I come here. Annie, you weren't convinced that you wanted to seriously pursue the cello until a little while ago. Tell us what your original dream was.
Yeah, up until about 3 years ago, I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. So my plans have changed a little bit since then, but... What ended up changing was that I went to a music camp where I practiced for 4 hours a day. And I remember looking at the website and thinking, oh my goodness, I'm not practicing 4 hours a day. It's not happening. But I ended up doing that and realized that I actually got better. It was amazing. So I practiced and I went into my first lesson and Mr. Pology was like, Annie, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I told him that I wanted to be a surgeon. And he just kind of nodded. And then the next week I came back in and I was so much better because I had been practicing 4 hours a day. And he asked me again and I said, still a surgeon. But he said, you know, you could be a cellist if you wanted to. So that was the first time that I ever really thought about it. And then I went back to the same place the next year and I told him that I wanted to be a cellist.
There you go. I thought he was going to say, playing the cello is challenging, but it's not brain surgery. Now that you know you want to pursue the cello, you're a bit unconventional in your approach, like your attitude for about practicing for hours on end. I mean, you're practicing more now, but your attitude about practicing is refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, every time I say this, I feel like I have to make a qualifying statement, because I do practice. I really do. But... I strongly believe that before I can possibly be a musician, I have to be a person. So, I mean, all the great composers like Mozart and Beethoven, they didn't write music about staying in a practice room for 8 hours a day. Mozart was out partying almost every night. Beethoven went out to dinner almost every night because he hated to cook and would throw a plate of spaghetti on a waitress's head when he wasn't satisfied. So I take them as my role models.
So make sure you get the pasta right, okay? And what's this penchant you have for Metallica?
Yeah, I think that Metallica is a very intelligent group. I mean, if you look at some of their lyrics, like to Master of Puppets, it almost sounds like Edgar Allan Poe. But when I come home every day, I mean, I practice a lot, and I'm living classical music almost. So when I come home, I don't always want to listen to it. And so I turn on Metallica, or Dream Theater, or The Beatles, or something different.
But it's not just listening to rock music. You're really participating. You're in your own rock cello quartet. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah. So we're called C4 Rock, and it's with Andrew Wang, Jason Gann, and Tim Yee. And we were coached by Ivan Trevino, but we play a lot of stuff. We started with some Bach, and then we went to Metallica and Breaking Benjamin, and Apocalyptica, Imogen Heap, Paramore, a bunch of different things.
Cool. I guess we get to hear some. Wow. Passionately invested. No matter what you're playing, you're passionately invested in what you're doing, and it comes across, and we just loved having you on. Thank you for opening the program, Annie.
Thank you so much.
Annie Jacobs Perkins, age 16, our cellist from neighboring Pittsburgh, New York. Joining us at the piano now is a fantastic 16-year-old pianist from Karlstadt, New Jersey, Carmen Knoll. Carmen will perform Hungarian Rhapsody No. 13 in A minor by Franz Liszt, as transcribed by Arkady Volodos. Carmen Knoll, 16-year-old pianist from Karlstadt, New Jersey, performing Hungarian Rhapsody No. 13 by Franz Liszt in an arrangement by Arkady Volodos. Carmen is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Well, Carmen, it's easy to tell you that's some of the not only some of the most virtuosic Liszt playing we've had on the show, but also some of the most lyrical. I just love the way, particularly your supple and lyrical thumbs, you know,
Thank you. Opening section
where the melody is passed back and forth between the elephant of the hand, and yet it floats like a bumblebee.
It's just beautiful.
Just great playing. Carmen, you'd never tell this from the way you're dressed elegantly this evening, but I hear tell you're a real tomboy.
Yes, I am. I know, I am.
What kind of things do you like to get up to?
Well, I like to run around. I like to be with the guys, and I like to be with the girls. I don't like to talk about makeup. I'd rather run around, skateboard, climb trees. Yeah.
And I understand you're actually, with your whole tomboy thing, you're following in your mom's footsteps.
Right, yeah. She used to tell me stories about when she was little, and she used to be just like me, crazy, just out of her mind.
And she's actually taught you one of your most adventuresome physical exploits, playing around. What does she do?
Actually, I used to climb these big trees and just jump into the nearest dumpster next to it, slide down the ramp.
I've heard of dumpster diving, but not dumpster sliding. That's good. Wow, exciting. I'm glad you're not just a girly girl, because before your family moved to New Jersey, you really had to rough it a bit to study at Juilliard. You were commuting and staying up?
Commuting from Virginia to New York, and I commute with my friend, and we shared one small hotel room, and I chose to sleep on the floor. And it's a little bit easier than, you know, sliding down a dumpster. If I can do that, then why can't I sleep on the floor?
That's right, sleeping on the floor. Well, and you're enjoying being at Juilliard now?
Exactly, yes.
That's great. Well, you're doing great work. I don't think you're going to be sleeping on floors any longer, okay?
Best of luck
to you, Carmen. Loved having you.
Thank you.
Carmen Knoll, 16-year-old pianist from Karlstadt, New Jersey.
Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded nearly $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
I'm looking forward to rehearsing Gounod's Petite Symphony with Sir James Galway, because right when I was getting into the orchestral world, talking to some of my flute player friends, they brought him to my attention as such a celebrity of not only flute playing, but of the world of classical music.
Okay, shall we try it? Ding, da da da, da da ding, da ding, da 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 ding. Right here. Not here. here's the thing. They go ding da da ding da, and you go dee da 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 da. I mean, if he wanted you to play a short note, he would have written one. Dee dee dee. Do you want to try that bar, just that bar where you come in? A little bit longer. Dee da 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 da. Yes, like that. Okay. Let's do it.
I just loved playing with Sir James Galway. He's just spectacular. I got to sit next to the most famous flute player in the world. What can I say about that? It's incredible.
He was so easy to work with. You'd think with all the fame he's achieved that he would be so full of himself, but he's absolutely the most down-to-earth and humble musician I've worked with in a long time.
He treated us more as colleagues and less as students.
Okay, I think we're done. Thank you. Really enjoyed it. You're great.
Now, to lead a performance of the Scherzo from Charles Gounod's Petite Symphonie, we'll hear the final movement later on. Please welcome the legendary flutist Sir James Galway. Sir James, it's always great to see you, and welcome back to From the Top. This is
Thank
the second
you.
Time you've been on the show. I should mention that before this show started, you received an honorary doctorate from the Eastman School of Music here at the University of Rochester. Congratulations, doctor. Does this mean I call you Dr. Sir James or Sir Dr. James? Or
I don't know, but whatever you do, don't ask me what's up.
Okay. And don't call you late for dinner.
Right.
It's appropriate for a flutist to lead this work because of who commissioned it, actually.
It was Paul Taffanel.
Great flutist.
He was one of the great flute players of all time. He started off his career touring around Russia, United States, the Far East, everything like that. This is in 1850. And then, as a result of an encounter with a French dentist, he couldn't play very well anymore. So he took up conducting. And he made a big success of that. He became the conductor of the chief conductor of the French National Opera. That's the sort of thing that James Levine holds here in the United States.
Indeed. Well, there couldn't be a better place to put an ensemble together to play this piece than at the Eastman School of Music, what with its world-famous wind program. And we want to thank the conductor of the Eastman Wind Ensemble, Mark Scatterday, for preparing this particular group. Sir James will play, oh yeah, the flute. He'll be joined by musicians studying here at the Eastman School, some of them alums of From the Top. Jun Kim, oboe, Dominic Giardino, clarinet, Quinn Delaney, bassoon, hornists Russell Rybicki and Nicolette Labonte. There will also be three teenage players from the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, Gwen Healy, oboe, Jeffrey Guo, clarinet, and Maggie Bacon, bassoon. Sir James, we heard Gwen, Dominic, and Nicolette singing your praises in that intro. Very nicely done. You aren't a pompous old guy, you know?
That's what they think.
Always.
No, I'm not a pompous old guy. I'm just an old guy.
You're a great musician and a wonder to work with and a wonder to hear play. Okay, we're going to hear this. The Scherzo from the Petite Symphony by Charles Gounod.
Okay. Thank you.
Sir James Galway and a wind octet made up of students here at the Eastman School of Music and high school players from the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra playing the scherzo from the Petite Symphony by Charles Gounod. We're going to hear the finale from the Petite Symphony later on. Nice going, Jimmy. And a great band you put together, too.
Yeah, we're free for weddings and stuff.
Sir James, we talked about your experiences as a teenager when you were last on our show, leading up to the extraordinary career you've had playing with orchestras, principal flute of the Berlin Philharmonic, and, of course, as the leading flute soloist of our time. But now, still in the midst of that career, you've become one of the leading flute pedagogues of our time, helping to train the next several generation of flute players. And to talk a little bit about your teaching activities, I've asked your partner in all of this educational crime to join us on stage, your lovely wife and a great flutist in her own right, Lady Jeannie Galway. Lady Jeannie, welcome.
Thank you.
So, James, I understand in the spring, and this year it's happening in Italy, you hold your international masterclasses for advanced players, and then every summer you and Lady Jeannie conduct your 10-day Galway flute festivals for flutists of all skill levels. But you've now launched an online educational program for beginners and professionals called First Flute. Tell us more about that, Sir James.
Well, it's in 15 episodes and it's interactive. It starts right from getting the flute out of the box because not a lot of people know how to do that without actually dropping it.
Jamming the pieces together.
Yeah, they hold the keys and hold the lip plate and waggle it around so that the lip plate falls off and the keys get bent, all that sort of stuff. So, and we gradually progress to when they will stand on the stage and play their first little recital.
Now, what's the most compelling reason you both have to do so much by the way of education?
Well, I don't wish to boast, but I think I know what I'm doing. You know, there's a lot of musicians who teach, and they don't know how to teach. They just say, play it like this. But I know how to stand, how to have a good posture, how to have a good projection, how to play scales really great, how to play arpeggios, how to interpret the music, all that stuff, because I've done it.
I've seen the program. I've seen the interactive program, and one thing that I noticed was you are so eloquent at explaining every aspect of flute playing. I think even I could play the flute.
Chris, I've no doubt you could. But being the gentleman you are, you won't. He's a
Quite
secret
right.
bagpipe player.
That's right. More my style. Quite right. Jeannie, would you like to elaborate on this enterprise?
Yes. I have to also vouch that my husband is a wonderful teacher. I've been lucky to learn from him for over 32 years, and it's a passion of both of ours to carry this message that we've been given so much in our lives with great teachers and sponsorship throughout our lives that now we can give this back. And this 15-series lessons called First Flute Foundations is exactly what it is. It's the foundations taught by the method of my husband to help flute players that we can't reach on a daily basis. And we hope that everyone will take advantage of this because it's for all levels. It's professionals. You can play a duet with my husband, and I won't get jealous. And we just hope that you'll enjoy it.
Well, we're going to look forward to having kids who've started out with First Flute on our show in coming years. And Sir James, we're going to look forward to having you back at the end of the show for more Gounod. Thanks to both of you.
If you're wondering what it would be like to see these amazing performers in action, hop over to our YouTube channel. There you'll find video clips from each and every show, behind-the-scenes features, even content created by the young musicians themselves. Go to youtube.com/fromthetop.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts have a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. U.S. Trust operates through Bank of America N.A. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need, on the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Kodak Hall at the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. Coming up, an alum of From the Top, who's now studying voice here at Eastman, sings from Die Fledermaus. Today's show is presented by WXXI and made possible with support from RG&E Iberdroller USA, Betty Strassenberg, and Keith and Betsy Wilson. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Standing next to me is an outstanding 10-year-old violinist from Fremont, California, near San Francisco. His name is Pierce Wong, and he's going to play a reimagining of a famous Schubert song for unaccompanied violin. Pierce, what's the name of this piece?
Der Erlkönig.
The words for Schubert's original song came from a poem by Goethe depicting the death of a child at the hands of a supernatural being, the Erl King. This is the Grand Caprice on Schubert's Der Erlkönig by Heinrich Ernst.
Thank you.
Pierce Wong, 10-year-old violinist from Fremont, California, performing Heinrich Ernst's Grand Caprice on Schubert's Der Erlkönig. Pierce, I was so jealous. I wanted to play with you, but clearly you didn't need any of my help.
Yes.
Had that piece all by yourself, and it's just such a brilliant arrangement. We've never had that on the show before, and I don't think we'll ever have anybody who can play it again. My gosh.
Thank you.
Just spectacular. Yeah. Thank you. Pierce, at the age of 10 years old, you're a genuine busker. Tell everyone about your earliest memory of playing the violin in public.
My earliest memory was on a cruise, which was a family reunion, and it was going to Alaska. And so I had signed up for a talent show, and I was about 3 years old. And yeah, so I thought, you know, I need a place to practice. So we found a shrub, and we played behind it. And so apparently a woman heard me and stuck her head through the bush and gave me $5. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Score.
Yeah.
Score. Right. Hey, so what was the great showpiece that you scored the $5 with?
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Oh. And when I played it on the talent show, I was so shy that I asked my mom to come on stage.
Oh,
so,
I think
yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
I think we should all have our moms
yeah.
out with us.
Yeah, we should.
That's good. We'll make a note of that.
Yeah.
And now that you're studying with Davis Law at the San Francisco Conservatory, you apparently wander the streets yeah. of the city making money. So where around San Francisco? Where's the first place that you were busking in San Francisco?
Well, so it was a bet between my dad and me. And so I played at the Civic Center BART station. Mm-hmm. And
good acoustics there?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Very good. And so I put out my violin case, and I played my repertoire at that time. Mm-hmm. And there was this man who came up to me and said, "I'll give you this dollar if you play another piece." And so he gave me the dollar, and I played the Paganini Sonata number 12.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So, note to self.
Yeah.
Make them pay for encores.
Yeah, make them pay.
Okay. And how about, I understand you made your biggest fee busking at Powell Street Station.
Yes.
How much did you take down that day?
More than $100.
That's great.
So...
And some people stayed around and listened to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And then some people just walked by without...
I'm guessing you're going to be making a lot of money, but not necessarily in music, but also in Silicon Valley.
Yes.
I know you are involved in robotics, but
yes.
What's the app that you're designing for the smartphone?
So I will be programming iTeach, and it's basically to collaborate between teachers and students. So lessons, how well the student practiced, how much the student practiced, just all kinds of things like that.
It's great, very convenient.
Everything to help them.
I think
them.
You and
then,
the Galways should go into business together.
Yeah, and the really funny thing is that the students' app is going to be called You Learn. So I teach You Learn.
Exactly, perfect.
It's perfect.
Pierce, it's clear you've got it all going on. You're going great places, and we're so happy to have heard you here first. All the best to you, Pierce, and thanks
Thank
for
you.
Being with us. Pierce Wong, 10 years old, our violinist from Fremont, California.
You should see what it was like when 10-year-old Pierce met our special guest artist, Sir James Galway. Go to our website to check out a video of Pierce playing and then whistling with Sir James. Go to fromthetop.org. Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Chris.
And now we're going to feature a From the Top alum who's studying here at the Eastman School of Music with the great voice teacher, Carol Weber. She's a soprano we absolutely loved when she first appeared on the show we did 2 years ago at Chautauqua Festival, and she's standing next to me now. This is Emily Hellenbrook. Emily, you're going to be singing Adele's laughing song from Die Fledermaus by Johann Strauss. Tell everyone why Adele is laughing.
Sure. Adele is a chambermaid, and she decided she wants to go to this really fancy party. She does not have an invitation, and so she borrows her mistress's gown and wears that to the party, and she goes anyway. Unfortunately for her, she runs into her mistress's husband, Sir Eisenstein, and he recognizes her and calls her out on her mistake, and she basically bluffs her way through the aria and says, well, I couldn't possibly be a chambermaid. I have too dainty of features, and my figure is too great.
Ich, ja genau, sich.
soprano Emily Hellenbrook, studying here at the Eastman School of Music, singing Adele's Laughing Song from Die Fledermaus by Johann Strauss. That was incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. So, how are you liking life here at Eastman?
I absolutely love it. I couldn't be happier with my choice to come here, and the time is just flying by. You have to understand, I come from a really small cow town, and I think there's like more cows in our county than there are people. That's actually true. But, you know, people always just listen to country music, and I was always the odd one out, listening to my opera constantly. But when I got here, it became like a really normal thing if you found this old recording of like Robert Merrill and Leontine Price, that you could just listen to that opera at night, and that's like a normal thing. So, I mean, I think you kind of forget that you're at a school as great as this, and because the support here is just great, and there's a really great sense of community here, and you really forget that you're just surrounded by these kids that are just absolutely brilliant and so talented. It's great.
I understand you really like your teacher, Carol Weber.
Oh yeah, she's actually the best. It's such an honor to be her student. She has this great way of putting things in like the most simple way, and she's not only a great technician, she's really helping me interpret. And it's not just about the text. It's not just about knowing what the text is. It's knowing what the text means to you. And like I said, she always puts things in the best way. And she says her motto is, you simply cannot sing if you have nothing to say. And I just love that.
That's beautiful. Malia, I want to ask you about what changes when a young singer comes to a conservatory or college. You had obviously excellent training before you came here, but what did you need to work on when you started advanced training here at Eastman?
I think basically what we worked on is just slowing down. When you're applying to college and going all over auditioning for these schools, you're constantly having to sell yourself and tell everyone, yes, I can do something. I have something to offer. But when you get here, you really can just focus on your art, and it's really awesome. It's
more
really
meditative,
great.
More sort of concentrated.
Yeah.
Excellent. Your teacher is on sabbatical this semester, but we reached her by phone.
I'm very lucky to be teaching at Eastman, a school that attracts, fortunately for all of us, brilliantly talented young artists. And it's a wonderful new beginning that, if it's presented in the right way, does not diminish past success. It's interesting, however, that the instrument itself is still being formed physically in a young voice, in a young body, and the voice will change and grow and mature. And so there is a tremendous opportunity and need to reevaluate what's going to maintain healthy function for a lifetime of singing.
Some people say that you have to start from scratch when you come to a conservatory setting. Carol Weber doesn't think that's necessarily true. Obviously, you don't think that.
No, I tend to agree with her. I think you do, when you get here, you do work on the fundamentals and make sure everything is really solid. It's not like you're going to do anything crazy when you first get here. I think you don't necessarily start over. You're just using what you have and really trying to hone that craft.
Well, you've got a lot, and we look forward to hearing you. For years to come. Great honor to play with you again, Emily.
Thank you so
much.
Thanks.
Soprano Emily Hellenbrook, studying here at the Eastman School of Music. Okay, it's time for our finale of the evening, the finale of the Petite Symphonie, which means it's time to bring back out our outstanding wind octet, made up of students here at Eastman and their younger counterparts, members of the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. And it's time to bring back out our stellar guest, Sir James Galway. Sir James, again, thank you so much for being with us on the show. And it's
pleasure.
Always great to be with you and see you and hear you play. Just an astonishing honor to be with
well,
you.
Well, I've really enjoyed it. I walk a mile to play with these guys any
That's
day.
That's right. So we heard a little bit of your rehearsal with this ensemble earlier, and I know from my own experience accompanying you on many tours that you're a wonderful collaborator. Fun putting this group together, would you say?
Yes, it wasn't much for me to do because they were so well prepared. It was amazing.
Yeah, just gorgeous.
And they're so accomplished as well.
Yeah. Well, let's hear the final movement of Charles Gounod's Petite Symphonie. But before we do, I want to thank all of our young performers and thank you all for listening. And again, thanks to the conductor of the Eastman Wind Ensemble, Mark Scatterday, for preparing this ensemble. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And Sir James, when you're ready, we'll take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And from Joyce V. Hale, in the interest of engaging an informed and civil electorate. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.